guys, it's Emily, the controversial mom. I've been noticing a lot of headlines recently that deal with the LGBT movement. Now, they're pretty broad-reaching in terms of what they're talking about. And honestly, I feel like a lot of it's driven by the Trump administration and their push to more or less kind of get this out of our public institutions. Trump signed a lot of executive orders, and I know I've talked about them multiple times, but just to remind everybody, he signed a couple of them that deal with funding of this LGBT movement, that we're pulling back federal funding for that. He's limited where these topics can be discussed, so radical ideologies can't be in public schools anymore. He's recently signed an executive order that removes a lot of this from public libraries and public museums. And of course, he signed the executive order that keeps boys out of girls' sports. So there's been a lot in the news because of what he's doing at a national level, but there's also a lot of state-level headlines, for lack of a better term. There was recently an article out of Texas dealing with Texas A&M. From what I gathered, the board of directors for the university said, we're not going to host drag shows on the university. They more or less ban them from happening on campus. I guess somewhere in there, somebody sued and a local judge came back and said, then the wording was interesting. It said Texas A&M must, not can, not shall, must host drag shows. So it was a pretty interesting headline in and of itself. But then here in Alabama, I've also been seeing a lot of headlines. There was one this week that dealt with the Hush Lounge out of Birmingham. And I'll be honest, I have no idea what that is. It sounds like one of those places where you go and, like, it's not pot, but whatever those little smoking bong looking things are. But I guess it closed and now a drag show lounge is going to be in place of the Hush Lounge, whatever that was. So again, it's just being pushed anywhere and everywhere from a national level all the way down to state level. And depending upon where you are, even a local community area. Prideville had this issue back during Christmas when they were trying to do a Christmas parade and they had an organization trying to do a drag show performance or whatever during the parade. So it's really just everywhere. You can't avoid it as much as you may try. And it really got me questioning and wondering why. How did we get to this point in our society that this dominates headlines? So I started doing research and looking into it. As I always do, something piques my curiosity and I have to go figure out why. And that's exactly what I did. So I went and started just kind of researching the topic of LGBT in America. And I found some pretty startling things that really and truly, I probably have heard about these things, but I've never really focused on it too much. But really the growing number of, and I'm going to start with youth and then deal with like the entire LGBT community, but the growing number of youth identifying as some form of LGBT is really not, it's very scary what's happening. So I found a report through the CDC that's called the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System Report. And from what I've gathered, this is really just kids that self-report as being some shape, form, or fashion associated with the LGBT community. Now, there's varying degrees of it. It could be somebody that's gay. It could be somebody that's trans. It's very broad spectrum. But nonetheless, they did this report, and in 2021, there were 26% of youth that identified as non-heterosexual. Now, they say non-heterosexual for the exact same reason. It's very broad, right? It could be somebody that's gay. It could be somebody that says they're a lesbian. It could be somebody that says they're trans. It's so broad. So it's just cleaner to say non-heterosexual or not straight. That's really what it is. There were a couple of other reports in that same time frame that were similar in terms of number, but between all of the reports, it basically boiled down to one out of like four or five people identified as non-heterosexual. That's a lot. Like, at first glance, it didn't seem like a lot until I started thinking about those numbers. One in four to five kids is not straight. So in my family, with my siblings, between all of us, there are seven kids, like really youth children. And based on these numbers, like two-ish of our kids are going to be non-heterosexual. That when you start thinking about it in those terms, it really is shocking how many kids identify this way. And to put that in comparison, in 2021, the number was roughly 26% identified as non-heterosexual. In 2015, the number was 11%. So in the course of like 5 or 6 years, the number more than doubles from 11% up to 26%. That's not normal. Like, just to be clear, that's really not a normal statistical jump in the course of 4 to 5 years. It's a lot. And to add even more to that, in the early 2000s, the number was roughly 7 to 9%. Like, that's staggering. In the course of 20 to 25 years, the number goes from 7% to 26% that identify this way. That's a huge leap. So that's just the youth. And those are just percentages of a population. I also found a report by the UCLA School of Law. It's called the Williams Institute. I've heard the Williams Institute multiple times, but really I've never dug into it. But I found a report that they put out that was around the 23-ish, 24 timeframe. So very relevant, very similar to the percentages I mentioned a minute ago. But instead of being percentages, it talks about actual like numbers, like each person. And it talks about the number of people that identify as LGBT and then the number that also identify as trans. And this is just youth. This is not everybody in the community. It's just dealing with youth. So in the US, there's roughly 2 million youth that identify as being some shape, form, or fashion associated with the LGBT community. Of those 2 million, 150,000 of those youth identify as being trans. That's a lot of kids. That's a whole lot of confused, hurt, and broken kids. It really is. And of course, then I wanted to look at a more local level. What are we dealing with here in Alabama? So in Alabama, there are 30,000 kids that identify as some shape, form, or fashion of LGBTQ. And of those, 2,500 identify as being trans. That's a lot of people in the state of Alabama. For a very red conservative area, a Bible Belt state, that's a lot of kids that are identifying as part of this agenda. And for comparison, I wanted to look at Tennessee because, you know, they're our neighbors to the north. We want to know what's going on there. They have roughly 44,000 that identify as being LGBTQ, and roughly 3,000 of those are trans. So pretty similar. I think Tennessee's probably just more populated than Alabama, so it's not surprising that their numbers are higher, but slightly higher. Overall, pretty close comparison. But then I wanted to look at California because I find it interesting that two red states that are still pretty conservative had similar numbers. And I really wanted to know, well, what's going on in California? Because we all talk about how crazy California is, crazy liberal blue state. In the state of California, given their population's much higher, so their numbers are automatically going to be higher. But they had 244,000 kids that identified as LGBTQ. And of those, roughly 22,000 identified as trans. The number of trans kids in California is close to the entire number of LGBTQ kids in the state of Alabama. That's really alarming. A really, really, really high number. And it hurts my heart because these kids are really struggling. But as I continue reading through this report from the Williams Institute, there was also some numbers out there about just the LGBT community as a whole. So not specifically just children, but the entire community. And it was really heartbreaking, some of the things that I found. And it really went back to trauma and bullying when these people were kids during their childhood. It was like 77 or 74% of people in this LGBT community as a whole said that they had been bullied often when they were children. I don't think that's really surprising. It's sad, don't get me wrong, but I think we all kind of expect that those things go hand in hand. I know when I was in high school, there was a guy that was always rumored to be gay, and he did get picked on a lot, not because he was gay, but he was just different. And we all aggravated him. You know, I would aggravate him. I didn't bully him. He was always good to me. Like, he was hilarious, actually. But if you ask him now, he would say he was bullied. And he probably was to some extent. So I don't think that any of us are really surprised by that. But knowing that the number is like 75-ish percent of these people say that they were bullied in high school or as a child, is really heartbreaking. It really is. And I'm going to reference the other numbers that I wrote down because I do want to state these correctly. And it really is heartbreaking. So of the people that are included in this population that were surveyed, 72% of them say that they were emotionally abused as a child. That's a lot, people. 72% were emotionally abused. 41% were physically abused, which is horrific. And 38% say that they were sexually abused. That's just heartbreaking. Now, I didn't dig into correlation, causation, all of that, right? Like, I would love to, and maybe at some point I will. But just looking on the surface, you kind of have to wonder, is there not correlation between childhood abuse and identifying as part of the LGBT agenda? Now, I think when you're dealing with transgenderism specifically, those numbers probably go up. I think there's a lot of statistical evidence to say that children that are abused in some shape, form, or fashion as a child definitely have a lot of mental health issues and later on just really struggle to recover from that. And they somehow kind of get sucked into this world of transgenderism. So there's definitely some correlation there. But overall, it's just really heartbreaking to know that abuse in your childhood just derails your entire life and you start going down this very dark path. So knowing all of that, understanding all of that, it really just started making me question, well, what do we do with that? Like, how do we as a society, as a community, as a church, as a parent, push back on all of this? And I really came up with maybe 3 or 4 different things that I think we need to be doing. The first one is that we've got to restrict access to cell phones for children. I'm reading a great book right now, and I'm not too far into it, but it's startling the things that I'm reading already. When I get more details, I'll definitely share it. But basically, it's saying that children that get a smartphone specifically, not a flip phone, but just a smartphone that's constantly connected to the internet, is extremely detrimental to the development of our children. And kids are getting these phones at a much, much younger age every single day. My son was in 3rd grade last year. There were at least 5 kids that had cell phones. Like, mind-blowing that this is happening. So we've got to start there. We've got to stop putting our kids in front of iPads, computers, phones, all of it. We've got to start restricting that because it's not good for them developmentally. And then they're being exposed to very traumatic things that their brains just cannot comprehend. There's a great story, side story, by Chloe Cole, who's a famous detransitioner now. And she talks about what put her on this path of transgenderism started with her cell phone. She got a cell phone at age 11. She was playing on her phone. And then suddenly very graphic porn, violent porn pops up and she's sucked into that world, watching it, and said, if that's what being a woman is, I don't want to be a woman. And that's what started her down this path. Cell phones are extremely dangerous. We have to start limiting access to cell phones with our children. The other one is social media. I have always said social media is the spawn of Satan. It really is. Even as an adult who can process and comprehend what's going on, it's horrible. I read stuff all the time. It hurts my feelings. So I just stop. If you ever comment on anything social media-wise, I'm probably not going to respond because I refuse to go look at the comments. It's hurtful. People are mean, and their intent is to hurt you. So social media for kids is horrible, not to mention for girls. It just puts this horrible idea in their mind of what a perfect woman looks like, and they're never going to achieve that. So then you have self-esteem issues, you have suicide issues, all the mental health things. Social media is horrible. Keep your kids off of it. Restrict it until at least 16. More studies are coming out that say really and truly it needs to be 18. But social media has got to stop. Those are the easy ones. I know those sound hard, but those are really the two easy things that we've got to do as a society. The big one is we've got to start speaking truth. Our churches have to start speaking truth. Our families have to get back to church, and they have to start speaking the truth. I am not saying be mean to people that identify as the LGBT community. Do not be. Be loving. Be kind. Be professional. Be respectful. Be all the things. But speak truth. It is okay to say the LGBT movement is anti-God. God did not design us that way. God designed us to be one man and one woman. God designed us he designed us in his image. He created us before in our mother's womb, before we even took a breath. He didn't make a mistake. So telling someone that UBU, love is love, doesn't help them. It confuses them more. And until our churches start saying that, until we start saying that, until parents start teaching that to their kids, this isn't going to change. These numbers are just going to keep growing. So we've got a lot of work to do. We've got to start speaking truth on an individual basis, as organizations, and as a church. We've got to start doing that. And that really is the hard one. Taking away a cell phone, limiting social media, yeah, they're not easy, but they're easier than speaking truth. So we've got to buckle down. We've got to start combating this. Trump's leading the way with the executive orders and just the headlines in general. It's becoming more and more of a table issue, kitchen table issue. We've just got to be armed with the truth to talk about it in a loving and kind way that addresses the issue. And if we know children that are abused are more likely to fall into this community, then let's start combating abuse. For crying out loud, we can all agree that children shouldn't be abused. So let's stop allowing that to happen. Get engaged in your community. Know what's happening. Know who your kids' friends are and know what's going on in their lives. If something's not right, step in and do something. Protect children from abuse that leads to this very, very dark path that so many of them find themselves on. There's a lot that we can be doing, but you just got to step forward and be willing to have the conversation. So thanks for letting me rant. Y'all know this is always therapeutic for me, and I always find it educational to dig into these topics and then share what I've got. So hope you enjoy, and y'all have a good week.